This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes, inviting you to study with us to continue our study, which we began several days ago, on the fact of the all-sufficiency of the Bible. The Bible is all-sufficient to bring you the blessings that you need, that you truly do need in this life. No matter what sacrifice you may make to follow Jesus Christ, as the Lord made clear in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 30, you will receive 100-fold more now in this life and in the world to come, the marvelous, indescribable blessing of eternal life. Now we're talking in particular about the fact that the Bible is all-sufficient ethically or morally speaking. And we've pointed out thus far 4 points about the biblical ethic, that it is a revealed, not a speculative ethic, that it is a metaphysical one in that it depends upon the nature of God and His relationship to man, to God, that it is an absolute and not a relative ethic. In other words, it is related to objective truth, truth that does not depend upon our attitude about it, and it doesn't change no matter what any one of us thinks about it. And fourth, we've pointed out that it is a religious, not a secular ethic. It is connected with man's relationship and obligation to God. Now in the fifth place, as we continue our study, we note that the biblical ethic is an ethic of striving for perfection. It is not involved in our simply arriving at a plateau and saying, well, we now have arrived. I am just as good as I need to be. The truth of the matter is, none of us is good enough to be saved. No one can be saved apart from the grace of God, from the blood of Jesus Christ. The biblical ethic is an ethic of striving for perfection. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "But keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, the Bible says, "But to your faith add virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control patience, to your patience godliness, to your godliness, brotherly kindness, to your brotherly kindness, love." And then note the marvelous consequence. "For if these things be in you and abound, they cause you that ye shall be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He sees only what is near. He has forgotten the cleansing from his old sin." You see, the biblical ethic is one of recognizing what the truth is, and of striving to build that truth into our lives, realizing that we never quite reach it and cannot do so without the grace of God, without being in Christ. Paul states it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel." In other words, that simply means the Christian ethic involves what you do and say in your daily life be one that reflects the principles of the gospel. Such principles as the soul is worth more than the body, and eternal life is worth more than physical life here on this earth. Being right with God, the wealth of that is much more than any physical wealth or material wealth we may gain here on this earth. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, we're taught that we are to recognize that we fall short of what God would have us to be, and we must confess our sins, and that only through the blood of Christ can we be saved. In the sixth place, the biblical or Christian ethic involves both the heart and the body. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, we find that hatred of one's fellow man amounts to murder in the sight of God. If one really does hate, if he goes through the mental processes that would be involved in murder, he is already guilty of that murder in the sight of God. In the same way, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 28, "If a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart." That is, if he is prevented from being involved in the adultery only because of some circumstance and not because of the attitude of his mind, then in the sight of God he is guilty of it. We can be guilty of mental adultery as well as physical adultery, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. But our time's gone for today. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back next time. Until then, may God bless and keep you is my prayer.